Joining me over the phone is none other than Martin Rogan, who is the CEO of Mental Health Ireland, and he's here to talk to me all about PTSD. Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Morning, Carl. You good?
I'm good, thanks. So, can you tell us, for those who don't know, what exactly is PTSD?
Okay. So, I suppose the answer's in the question. So, post-traumatic stress disorder is a stress disorder, an anxiety-based disorder, that usually follows often a sudden or alarming or scary event or a trauma. And that can be a sudden trauma, a once-off event, say someone who's involved in an accident or witnesses an accident or perhaps is assaulted or injured, or it can be actually over a more prolonged period. But we usually use PTSD when we're describing the psychological fallout from a sudden and scary event.
As only generally caused by, say, a traumatic experience like that?
Yeah, if you think of, as humans, we're designed to operate in loads of different environments, and every day we encounter things that are difficult and challenging, etc. And when we pass through them normally and process them and deal with them, we just almost forget about them, we just go into regular memory, and we carry on from that. We probably learn from the experience. But sometimes, for a variety of reasons, sometimes either something is very overwhelming, it's of a different order of magnitude, so it's very, very frightening, or we're at a particularly vulnerable time. So if we're already stressed or overtired or not physically well, etc., we might be particularly vulnerable or sensitized. So something that you would normally deal with and would pass off fairly regularly, somehow or other has got in on you, to probably use that kind of expression that people often use in Ireland. But it's just that for some reason, you've been left particularly exposed. And what you'll notice that the individual experience that things have somehow changed for them, that things they used to normally enjoy and find simple enough, and you know, things that would excite them and that they find funny, maybe would actually somehow become, you know, a bit scary, a bit uncomfortable, and probably prone to avoid them in the future.
And is there any way, like, the person who suffers, unfortunately, from PTSD can get it treated, or is it kind of something that's stuck with them for the rest of their life?
Yeah, I think what's really important to say is that, you know, in all of our lives we will have some sort of adversity. So humans are designed to manage adversity, and sometimes, you know, people can be the most extraordinarily resilient people, and then something that looks kind of innocuous enough can actually tip them over to the point where they're feeling unhappy or very tense and anxious. And what seems to happen is that it's like as if we bite off more than we can chew and we just get stuck. So what's really important is, A, that the person recognizing they have a difficulty, and oftentimes that's characterized by being, you know, feeling very sensitive, feeling alert, very hyper-alert, probably a bit jumpy, very sensitive on the topic, or even an unwillingness to think about or talk about something that's happened to them. Unfortunately, what happens is, though, that the event, you know, kind of keeps entering into their thoughts, kind of intrudes into their thoughts, and, you know, they feel very unsettled, and the phenomenon is called hypervigilance, where you're very, very alert and on the watch all the time. And this begins to eat into your sleep, or begin to, you know, manifest itself in kind of irritability and difficult relationships, especially with people close to you. So sometimes when you most need to reach out and have support of friends and family, is you actually end up kind of alienating people and ending up a little bit isolated. So there is a tendency, I suppose, Carl, that you know, people use the expression that time is a great healer, except in this instance. Unfortunately, if this is not getting better, it's probably getting worse. So it's really important for people not to sit on this or hope it's going to go away, but actually to reach out and talk to someone they have a really good, close, confidant relationship with. And your GP is actually an interesting port of call here, because sometimes you might have another physical condition that needs to be checked out as well, that could be confused for PTSD as well.
And you were saying there about, like, say, the agitation, the constant alertness and stuff. It sounds kind of like a lot similar to, say, people suffering from paranoia.
It can be a little bit like paranoia, except it's grounded in reality. And when you think about it, you know, this is designed to be a protective mechanism. So if, for example, if you, as a young child, you discover if you put your finger on a hot teapot, it hurts and you learn very quickly, well, don't do that again. So it's really designed to keep you safe and not put you in a dangerous situation or a high-risk situation. But say, for example, if you're walking through the city centre late in the evening and you go to the cash machine and you get mugged, there's a tendency to kind of say, well, listen, I'll be very careful, I won't be doing that at night time again. But the risk is, what happens is you actually stop going to the city centre, you stop using cash machines at all, you stop leaving your house, and, you know, even the thought of going out becomes overwhelming and you feel nauseous, sweating, tremor, heartbeat, dry mouth, really uncomfortable, even to the point where you can't even think about the experience, let alone go and revisit that situation. And people often talk about, the need to get back up on the horse. So early on, it's useful, if you can, with some support, to re-experience something close to the situation. And that's saying put yourself in danger again. But certainly, really the only thing you need to avoid is avoidance.
Mm. And you were saying there about the mugging and stuff, do I can kind of lead to something similar. I once knew a person that happened to, and they just refused to go out unless they absolutely necessarily needed to. And they kept thinking that they seen the person that done it everywhere. So would that be kind of linked to that, or would that be kind of like something else entirely?
Yeah, well, what you're describing there, and I say usually when you can trace it back, saying, well, when did this begin? When did you start feeling like this? Was it last Easter? Was it Christmas time? And I say it was actually after that time when I had a frightening event. And sometimes the frightening events are interesting how they're categorized as well. Is oftentimes for a person who's threatened but not actually injured can actually be more traumatized than someone who's struck. So it's like as if you go into the brace position if you were on a plane and the captain says, okay, want everyone to sit forward, put your head between your knees and brace, brace, brace. But then nothing happens. So you're kind of left anticipating, you're still waiting for that second shoe to fall. So you're kind of left locked and loaded, ready for something difficult to happen. And then it doesn't quite happen. It's almost like you find it difficult to switch off your alertness, which again is designed to be a protective mechanism. But we need to be able to switch it off and come back into a relaxed, calm mode again and be able to see it, in the grand scheme of things that, when I went to the city centre for the last 50 times, nothing happened. Just once, something happened. And, was there some sensible precaution I could take? But like I say, if a person gets into avoidance, what happens is it tends to become very limiting. And they can often find themselves just making kind of vague excuses that they don't want to do that anymore. But what often happens is the things they really enjoy in life, like going to a football match or meeting up with some friends or going out socially, actually become a bit worrisome and a bit loaded with emotions and a bit uncomfortable. And say, for example, we can sometimes even have a PTSD-type reaction when someone's had, say, a social embarrassment or when someone slags them off, but not in good terms, kind of a hurtful comment. That can set off feelings of upset, anxiety, rage, or even a sense that, that they felt out of control. And the person finds that very uncomfortable and will avoid that situation. Or sometimes what happens, you may not even have been directly involved in a trauma yourself, but maybe a family member or a friend or a colleague, if your son or daughter was in town one night and had a difficult experience, the fact that you weren't there to protect them or save them from that or rescue them in some way, sometimes people get an overwhelming sense of guilt. But it is post-traumatic, and it is usually experienced as an anxiety-type condition, but it can sometimes spill over into a mood-type presentation where the person becomes quite depressed and withdrawn as well.
And do you think would it be more common to happen in men or women, or is it kind of like a 50-50 type of thing?
It's kind of a 50-50 thing, but it can manifest itself differently. Men, because there's an expectation of men are supposed to be, the script for men says you're supposed to be macho, you're supposed to be able to deal with things and get on with it. It sometimes even can be more difficult for men if they feel overwhelmed, either to talk about it, and then just like close friendships, and men process things very differently. But it can be a tendency for men to reach to alcohol or drug use to try and cover over this, and temporarily, that seems to make it go away, but unfortunately the following morning it comes back with a vengeance. You're actually stoking the fire rather than calming it. Women tend to process things a little bit differently, are probably much more inclined to share with friends, and it's important if you're sharing with friends that you share with someone who's calm and relaxed and not someone who enjoys the drama of all this, will tend to stoke it up. And there is a kind of a need for drama presentation, both men and women. So people like that probably aren't going to be helpful to you in this situation, who really need someone who's going to be calm and help you process and allow you to talk, and that they would listen in a supportive way rather than be jumping in with what you should have done or what I would do or what's the proper thing to do or you need to show them or any of that kind of unhelpful kind of first pass advice. Really want someone who can listen to you in a calm way, someone you have a trusting relationship with. And as I say, talking to your GP is usually very important here, because sometimes PTSD can manifest itself as physical symptoms, in terms of a rash or a tightness of, in your chest, or breathing, or bowel problems. So sometimes the GP will start to investigate a physical cause for that, but it's useful to mention, saying, well, listen, I actually was in a road traffic accident and I was in the passenger seat, and while I wasn't hurt and frightened the life out of me, it's very useful for your GP to know you've had an event in your life that might be contributing to other symptoms.
And again, you were saying about, like, with the whole, like, it can take longer, like, especially if they're out drinking. Would there be any type of techniques to help them kind of calm down, would you say? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I think what's really helpful today, Carlos, so as we were having this conversation 10 or 15 years ago, I couldn't be nearly as optimistic. But today, we have a range of different useful treatment options that work and are very, very effective. And I suppose part of this is that people now are much more open to having a conversation about their mental health and their feelings as well. So that in itself is helpful, because a huge burden of PTSD is pretending that you're fine, when you're not fine and you actually really need help. So, you know, the fact we're having a conversation of this on the public airways is a really helpful thing to begin with. But I think what's often useful is that look at things that you enjoy in life. Look at things that help you calm and relax, because this is usually an anxiety-based condition. It's like if you've bitten off more than you can chew, and you need to process, you know, some, you know, major event. And it could be the loss of a friend or loss of a family member or the loss of a job. You know, it can be a whole range of different types of trauma, and trauma is different for different people. So we usually find many forms of counselling are very, very useful here. There's a type of counselling called CBT. It's Cognitive Behavioural Therapy. And it's really good at looking at what are the things you're trying to process, what are the barriers getting in the way, and has your thinking changed as a result of this event? So one of the things that happens in PTSD is that people sometimes revisit their value systems and their belief systems about the world. So their beliefs about other people being mostly friendly, or the belief about themselves that they're able to handle themselves in most situations. And once you start tinkering with people's beliefs, it can have an unsettling effect, and sometimes that, as I say, is described as PTSD. But there's a number of counselling type approaches, anxiety management type approaches. Some of these are available online as computerised CBT. But certainly, if you're going to see a counsellor, it's very important to make sure you see someone who's, you know, registered with one of the major counselling agencies, because there's many people who are active in this space who wouldn't necessarily have the skill set or qualification. And like you mentioned earlier, you need to be careful that there isn't something else going on, either physically or a more major mental health problem, that also needs to be evaluated to see if that's an issue at all. There, with GPs, if you think of about 35% of all GP visits in Ireland relate to mental health issues. So GPs are very familiar with mental health issues and, you know, will be very understanding in that space. And certainly talk to your GP and make them aware if you've had, you know, a traumatic or scary event. If you feel you can't have that conversation with your GP for a variety of reasons, maybe you just don't click or you don't have that kind of rapport, you really should consider changing your GP, because over the course of all of our lives, there will be an occasion where you'll need to have that chat where saying, you know, I'm feeling a bit down, or I'm feeling very anxious, or my sleep is interrupted, or I'm having these intrusive thoughts, or I'm sitting at my desk trying to do my work and suddenly I get this overwhelming feeling I need to run out of the building. Or, you know, I get sweaty or uncomfortable or my heart is thumping. So it's really important that you can be level with your GP and, you know, have a good relationship and a good conversation if you're experiencing the symptoms of PTSD.
And just before we wrap up, I'm led to believe that there's kind of a new form of it called complex PTSD. Would that be correct?
Yeah, basically what happens is, so if you think of each person is unique, and, you know, every person you meet is a combination of everything from their genetic inheritance, their childhood experiences, their education, their relationships. You know, everyone of us is unique, and everyone of us, when we're stressed, we don't just break straight down the middle or vertically or horizontally. So you can have complexity going on. And one of the things that really adds complexity to PTSD is delay. So, as I said earlier, if it's not getting better, chances are the risk is getting worse, or it's just kind of lodged there. And it'll cast a shadow over your enjoyment of social events or family events or your work or sport that you normally enjoy. And what we often find is that people, as they develop a thing called anhedonia, which basically means you just don't get enjoyment. the things that you used to find exciting and fun and you look forward to just have kind of lost some of their colour and some of their appeal. So with, you know, kind of more complex PTSD, you'll often find just some other factor compounding as well. So there might be some depression there as well. There might be a touch of paranoia. And far too frequently in Ireland, we see the picture getting complicated with drug or alcohol use. And in Ireland, unfortunately, we have a quite an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. Like, alcohol is great for a celebration and a get-together, but if people need to have alcohol, this idea of prinks, that you have to have drinks so you can go out and socialise, that's really a worrying sign. And it often means that a person is just finding it very difficult to socialise as themselves and needs to kind of put on a cloak of alcohol to go out and enjoy themselves socially. You know, so sometimes people can drift into this over time and it's a little bit like sleepwalking, but every so often in all aspects of our health, we should say, you know, just have a look in the mirror and have a conversation and say, well, you know, are you happy with this? Is this the way you want it to be? Are you putting on a bit of weight? Are you getting enough exercise? Are you enjoying life? Or have you got a hobby? How's your relationship doing? You know, reinvesting in friendships, really, really important, because if people become isolated and removed, what happens is they can end up torturing themselves with their own thoughts, and they go unchecked if we don't share them with other people who say, well, I think you're being a bit hard on yourself, or I don't think that's realistic, or I think, you know, that's not quite the way it happened. But there can be a tendency for people to ruminate, as we say. And this is where you have a circular thought going round and round, kind of wearing a path or a track in your thinking. And it can be very difficult to get out of that. You can find yourself in a bit of a trench if you don't get out and about, socialise or have a conversation. And, you know, these can be very frightening thoughts when people get overwhelmed by anxiety and panic. You know, there can be a tendency to thinking, you know, my life is not worth living. And this can feed itself into aspects of self-harm or perhaps even thoughts of suicide. So it's really important that people would reach out. And if you feel there's no one in your immediate circle you can talk to, you can always call, say, the Samaritans at 24/7. And their number is 116123. And they're always available. And they will be very familiar with this type of experience. So 116123. It's a free call, 24/7.
Listen, Martin, thanks very much for your time, for coming in, sorry, for taking the phone call today and having the chat with us.
And
again, for the phone number, it's 116123.
Yeah, and if you'd like to know anything about any mental health systems at all, in terms of where services are available or the types of conditions that people might experience, you can visit our website at Mental Health Ireland, we're mentalhealthireland.ie. And you'll find a range of information there and some useful tips and guidance in terms of protecting your mental health so people can enjoy good mental health and enjoy their lives.
Listen, that's grand, Martin. Thanks very much for that.
And that was Martin Rogan, who, of course, is the CEO of Mental Health Ireland, talking all about post-traumatic stress disorder and kind of explaining some of the different things and what people go through on a daily basis.